Hey guys, so it's been a few weeks since I've hopped on to record a podcast episode, and it's interesting because it kind of relates to the principle that we're going to cover today out of the Intuitive Eating Workbook. Remember, I'm doing my Intuitive Eating series, walking you through the 10 principles for nourishing a healthy relationship with food. So today is episode 27. I'm going to be talking about challenging the food police. And it's kind of a joke that I share with people, like in a lunchroom at a job or something. People always, or at a restaurant, people always think I'm going to be looking at what they're eating. And my joke is kind of like, that's not my role. I'm not the food police. But when we talk about it in this episode, we're really talking about that inner critic, the inner critic that's kind of taken on all those society judgments and rules around food, and how we have negative self-talk and how we can change that conversation. So me not showing up on the podcast the last few weeks has been me wanting to be that perfectionist. I want to give you all the information, give you what's going to be the most useful from principle number four, challenge the food police. But the content is so broad, and there's so much great, juicy detail in this principle that I've been finding it hard to kind of summarize it into my short podcast episodes. So I'm having problems with that inner critic myself, not feeling like I can show up and give you guys all the information. But at the end of the day, I'm going to show up and give you what I think is going to be most useful. As usual, hop on over to IGTV, look at my intuitive eating series there, where I'm walking you through some of the principles in the workbook. And if you want to pick up the workbook, I'm going to drop the link in the show notes for this episode, because that's really the best way to get the most out of this is to walk through the principles with me and through the workbook in the same step-by-step process. So here's to keeping it simple, but showing up and giving you guys some great tools to help you on this journey to intuitive eating. You're listening to Healthy Mompreneurs Get Wealthy podcast with Kathy Richards, RD. As a registered dietitian with over 20 years of experience, I've helped thousands of people get healthier and ultimately wealthier. And now it's your turn, busy mompreneur. In this podcast, I'll be sharing with you my self-love journey back to health after years of stress and challenges, including living with a spouse with mental illness, suffering a concussion, and living with post-concussion syndrome, illnesses in my family, a death in my family, divorce, and more illnesses in my family, and all this with three kids under the age of 9. If anyone can show you how to thrive and not just survive through challenges and setbacks, it's me. So today, we're covering principle number four, which is challenging the food police. So the food police might actually not be who you think it is. In this instance, we're not looking to challenge what other people are saying or how they're judging us. It's really about getting familiar with your inner critic. And I know a lot of us, since COVID, we've had more time to kind of slow down and actually like be more present in life. And for a lot of people, with a therapist I was speaking with, they said that a lot of people started to notice their inner critic more because they're not running, on like fast forward all the time. So it's really starting to have awareness around the inner critic and what they're saying, and then starting to challenge that inner critic. So it's looking at non-judgmental awareness of your thoughts and then deciding what you get to be true, and it's learning to speak up. So this principle about asserting yourself or having more confidence about like being able to speak kind of back to yourself about what's actually true around food reminds me of the assert yourself strategy out of the Craving Change program, the emotional eating program that I run, where it's talking about being able to stand up for yourself and being able to say like, yeah, no, that doesn't work for me, or can you please not bring the breadbasket to the table? If you're at a restaurant, for example, that would be exerting yourself because you're putting yourself in control of the meal. And, you know, even as an intuitive eater, you can know like that bread's not going to satisfy me as much as this delicious entree that I've ordered. So I'm just going to wait for that. So that's an example of asserting yourself to other people. But challenging the food police is really about examining your beliefs about food and your body and kind of reframing those. So where do your beliefs about food and body come from? So that's the first place, is to maybe take a few minutes, maybe pause this episode and sit with, what do you believe to be true about food and your body? And then once you've kind of hashed that out, where do those beliefs come from? A lot of them are from society, right? The thinner the body, the better, the healthier the body, which we know is not true. Or parental figures commenting on our bodies. And, you know, that can seem like something like a little bit off the cuff, something that happens once. But those comments and things, they can stay with us for a long time, right? So getting really honest and vulnerable with yourself about what's really happening, what you really believe about your food and body, is a key step in getting onto this intuitive eating path. Because if we're not honest with ourselves, who can we be honest with, right? I was listening to a talk on YouTube that Brené Brown gave to some teachers back in 2017. And something that struck me in that talk was how she was talking about vulnerability is key for any significant change to happen. Like, we have to be able to be vulnerable, and that's not just with other people, but to actually be vulnerable and honest with ourselves. And I find with a lot of the clients that I work with, that's a hard thing sometimes, you know, until they're speaking things out loud as we're kind of going through what's been happening. Sometimes they're actually not allowing themselves to hear that message or hear what they're actually doing until they speak it aloud, and it gives it a lot of power. So I'll give you a couple of examples on how our beliefs are affecting our behaviors, right? Usually beliefs are cognitive distortions, so they're not actually true, but they're just beliefs that we've taken, or as Abraham Hicks say, it's just a thought that we continue to think, right? And then it becomes a belief. So they're usually based on false beliefs, these cognitive distortions, and a lot of this inner critic talk will be the same thing. So I'll give you one example to kind of bring it a bit clearer for you. So one example could be if you were telling yourself, I should never eat carbohydrates during the day, even if I crave them. No carbohydrates, can't include those. Okay. And then I want you to think about, okay, well, let's challenge those food police thoughts. So think about, is it reasonable? Is there any evidence? Is there scientific evidence to support that we shouldn't eat carbohydrates during the day? Well, probably not, because there's a lot of science to say what the role of carbohydrates is and how it supports us. But then it leads you to some questions, right? Should I really never eat carbohydrates? There's no evidence to say that you can't. Aren't there times a day when I do, in fact, eat some carbohydrates? Or how do I feel when I don't eat any carbohydrates during the day? And if you kind of reframe that thought of, I should never eat carbohydrates during the day, you might say, oh, you know, in the past where I've restricted carbohydrates during the day, my energy hasn't been the greatest, and it usually leads to a binge behavior at night. Okay, so then you're reframing. So you're taking that false belief and you're reframing it to what actually does happen when you do that false belief. And then reflect upon what's happened when you reframe it. So when you reframe it, that you need to have some, keeps your energy stable and helps you from that binge behavior at night, then you might say to yourself, since I've added carbs to my meals throughout the day, I've stopped binging on cookies and chips at night, and I feel so much better all day. Okay, and how would that feel, right? Like, to have that consistent energy through the day. So that's just a process where we're taking stock of these beliefs that we've formed that have come from society or parental figures, and then we're kind of flipping them on their head. And I want you to get curious with your thoughts. Like, I don't want you to be angry at yourself. Like, that's stupid. Why did I think that? But get more curious about, like, where does that thought come from? And has it really been, you know, serving me? But don't add a story onto it. Just have the awareness of what the thought is. And you can also think of it as, okay, thinking, not really like fact, right? So you can say, oh, that's interesting. I think that. But that's not necessarily a fact. And it takes away some of that power that that belief, that false belief, may have had over you. So that example is just kind of starting to be curious around your thoughts. And that's another way we can challenge the food police. You know, thoughts affect feelings. So cognitive behavioral therapy is the approach that I use in the emotional eating group. And what it tells us is when we start to think something, that can change how we're feeling, and that can lead to the behavior, right? So here's an example. You know, if you feel sad, and then you feel like when you've been sad in the past, that food has given you that reward, then you eat a box of cookies, and then you feel angry with yourself. But if anger has been a emotion in the past that you fed with food, then that cycle can continue. So it's trying to reframe negative thoughts to help stop that process. So here's an example of that. I told myself not to eat carbs and I just ate a whole box of cookies. And then notice how you feel when you change that negative thought to, with full permission to choose to eat whatever food I please, I eat reasonable amounts of cookies. So that's again where we've talked about in the last couple episodes is taking away the all or nothing allows us that permission to eat whatever we want when we want. And that might mean, yeah, for a week you might eat ice cream every day. Eventually you're going to be like, oh, I can have ice cream tomorrow if I really want it. I don't even think I really want it. And it's just to start to have that awareness, right? So reframing thoughts is going to be a big part of this intuitive eating process. So I'm going to leave you guys with that today. As you know, I like to keep my episodes short. Challenging that food police, I would just say, like, just start to cultivate that awareness of when those negative thoughts are coming. Ask yourself those questions, you know, get really curious about what happens when you do honor that false belief, and then flip it on its head and see what happens when you approach it from that angle. So if you have any questions or if you need any support, reach out. I'm happy to walk you through this process. But it's getting aware of that inner critic that is us, but that's come from places that don't necessarily have any evidence to back it up, right? So if we're walking around having all these false beliefs that are cognitive distortions, believing that they're true, it makes this journey that much harder. So I don't want this to be a hard journey. It doesn't have to be harder than it is. You know, that vulnerability piece is there. We have to be honest with ourselves about what's really happening, but then we can have so much self-compassion. So remember the three P's of intuitive eating, right? It's paying attention. So this is still part of that process. Pay attention. What's that inner food police telling us? Where did that come from? Is it true? What if I did it different? Does that feel differently? Oh, my body responds well to that, right? So it's that paying attention. It's practicing. Practicing flipping those thoughts, getting out of that negative judgmental self-talk and into a more neutral area, right? And then it's having patience with yourself because it's a journey. We're learning how to become an intuitive eater, go back to what we were as a young baby, right? But it takes practice. So I'm with you guys on the journey. Thank you so much for listening and tune in next time. And let me know how you like this intuitive eating series. Have a great day.